Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sideline to Sideline podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Guerin, back after a couple of weeks without recording one. Ran into some stuff, got kind of busy with my last couple of weeks of work. Now I'm back in college, and I'm ready to dive back into it. Since then, FanSource has expanded to include the MLB division, so now we can throw a little bit of baseball on the table as well, and that's what we're going to do later in the show. Not too much NBA topics this week. It's going to be more NFL and MLB centered. So, yeah, let's just get started with football, because guess what? Football's back. Thursday, it opened up. Packers-Bears, Soldier Field, 100th anniversary of the NFL. And it was a snooze fest. Let's make no mistake about it. Rodgers, Trubisky, both of them not terribly strong. Not a shock. Defenses usually aren't strong earlier in the year. The offenses aren't usually strong earlier in the year. The defenses usually get it going pretty good. However, it was really startling to see just how bad Mitch Trubisky was last night. Matt Nagy, deservedly so, won Coach of the Year last year. He's known as a great play designer. He can really get guys in motion. There's a lot of flair and a lot of, I don't want to say, it's flashy. The Bears offense is really flashy, especially last year. They were known for that really heavy front that they featured, where Trubisky was the lightest guy on the field and everyone else was like 300 pounds or more. It was basically 10 bowling balls lined up around Trubisky, and they scored a touchdown, I think, against the Rams. But, I don't really know what to make of the Bears. We'll get to my division predictions a little bit later. I'm going to go over 10 NFL hot takes that I have, as well as my division predictions and award predictions as the year gets underway. But, I thought the Bears would have been at least a little bit stronger to be able to take down the Packers. Maybe it's time that I start to reassess my feeling on the Packers defense, because let me tell you, they actually played pretty well. I forgot that Preston Smith went there from Washington. I know the Patriots were interested in him, but he ended up going to Green Bay. You have Za'Darius Smith, who came over from Baltimore, and that front is starting to look a lot scarier, despite the fact that they don't have Wisconsin Jesus Clay Matthews, as he is now in LA. I think it's interesting to see what Mike Pettine does with this group. They have a lot of high-powered offenses that they're going to have to face this year, the NFC being deeper than the AFC in general, as well as the fact that they will face the Vikings and the Bears twice a year, Diggs and Thielen on the Viking side, and the Bears usually can scheme a play better than they did last night. We'll have to see. That remains to be seen whether that can improve or not. And then, Matt Stafford's kind of lunch meat, but, you know, we're going to leave the Lions out of this for now. I'm looking at this Bears team and this Packers team, and I think they're diverging. They're going two separate directions. The Packers have basically nowhere to go but up after missing the playoffs the last two seasons. Rodgers was hurt all of last season. I think that the Packers are better than I thought going into the year. And I made these predictions. I wrote these down on Monday. It's a Friday that we're recording this, so it's after the opener. But I still think that, you know what? I think that they could probably make the playoffs, even though I don't have them doing it right now. But with that, after a quick recap of the Thursday night game, I don't really have any notable plays that I want to go over, only because, the one thing, Aaron Rodgers threw a bomb to, I think, Geronimo Allison in the second quarter that led to the only touchdown of the game. It really wasn't that good a throw. All he had to do was bail out and just chuck the ball, and then wide receiver made a nice play on it. Also, they did throw a flag on a supposed pass interference from Taylor Gabriel. The challenge flag, that is, Matt LaFleur did. And he lost that challenge, which also has to do with one of my hot takes. So without further ado, we're going to hop right in there. So my first NFL hot take for the season, and make no mistake about it, I highly doubt these are going to be right, but I still have them. There's a reason they're supposed to be hot. So first of all, five or less pass interference challenges, will actually be overturned. I think this should be a pretty obvious one here. Just like the NFL did a couple of years ago when they were really bearing down on the fact that you couldn't lower your helmet when you went to go hit somebody, and either the body weight on the quarterback issue. They called it a bunch during the preseason, like a crap ton, more than was necessary. And then they really laid off it come the regular season. But the defensive players really understood what they were doing, and the running backs for that instance, in the instance of lowering their helmet, they really understood what they were doing, and they weren't going to necessarily do it as much, so that wasn't necessarily an issue. So that's why they just stopped calling it. So I think five or less are going to get actually overturned, whether it be creating pass interference or saying that this wasn't pass interference type of thing. I don't think that that's going to make a big difference. It was basically just to prevent the clear and obvious ones from being wrong. just like the Tommy Lewis hit last year in the NFC title game. Second, the Washington Redskins will have a top five defense this season. Yes, I think that the Redskins are pretty loaded. They got Jonathan Allen, Ryan Kerrigan, those boys up front. Their defense is littered with first round picks. I believe they still have either Reuben or Mason Foster, one of the two, who is pretty talented despite his off the field issues. And you still have Josh Norman in the back on the back end, along with new addition Landon Collins. So I don't see the Redskins defense giving up a ton of points this year, despite the fact that they're going to have to go up against these high powered offenses like an Eagles, like a Cowboys, twice a year. Third, the Steelers will win the NFC North. Sorry, Browns fans, it's just not your year. It's not your year yet. I'm selling all my stock in the Bears and selling all my stock in the Browns. I don't think that they're going to be very good this year. I think that Freddie Kitchens is going to have trouble wrangling all these egos. I think that it's just going to be very difficult for the Browns to improve upon what they did last season. Now, I think they went, 6-9-1, which is respectable, very respectable. And I think they're going to finish around 8-8 this year. It's still a massive improvement from 2 years ago. So at this point, just take what you can get and roll with it. I still think that the Steelers are the class of the AFC North, despite losing Bell. They didn't have him all last year, so they'll be fine. Antonio Brown, we see what happens with him and the Raiders, and I'll get into that in a little bit. And, I just think that the Steelers are still pretty good. They have a loaded defensive and offensive line. It's the back end for the Steelers and the wide receiver. Can someone step up behind Juju Smith-Schuster? I think that they can. Let's see. The Patriots will finish at a minimum of 15-1. Listen. This Patriots defense, I said in one of the earlier podcasts that I did, is absolutely loaded. I don't think anyone's going to be getting in their way anytime soon. And the offense is usually what takes a little bit to click. If the defense already has a bunch of aging veterans that know, that are very heady players, that have high football IQ, that's exactly what Coach Bill Belichick is looking for. I think that it's going to be a while before this Patriots team loses a game. I couldn't even tell you who their loss is going to be. The two candidates that jump to mind right away is probably at home against Kansas City or at the Eagles. Other than that, I don't really know what to tell you. They only travel out of the Eastern time zone once all year, and it's to Houston. It's not that bad because they get to face the NFC East this year. 15-1, this Patriots team is going to be loaded. Brady and Belichick and McDaniels will always figure it out. I am not going to stay up at night worrying about New England. Next, Jalen Ramsey will get traded before the season is over. Yes, this is kind of a pipe dream. I have the Jags going pretty far in terms of winning the division. But Jalen Ramsey showing up in a Brinks truck before the year pretty much tells you how much money he wants. I don't know if the Jags have, A, the salary cap to pay it. B, do they want to pay it? They already have A.J. Bouye, who maybe they could trade him or Ramsey. It doesn't really matter. But I think that their they need to support Nick Foles with some sort of wideout. And maybe Ramsey, if you trade him, you might be able to get a second-round pick out of it. Then you can go draft a wideout in the next year's draft. Who knows? Four quarterbacks will throw for at least 5,100 yards this year. For comparison, only one quarterback did it last year. That was Big Ben. Even Mahomes didn't do it. I think that this is going to be a very offensive year, despite what you saw last night at the time of this recording, in terms of Packers-Bears, which was just like the Super Bowl. Low scoring, not that exciting. Punters got a lot of screen time. Let's see. Lamar Jackson will play in less than 10 games this year, whether it be because he's hurt, whether it be because he's benched, because he's not doing too well. RG3 will be in at least 6 or more games this year. I just think it's the nature of the position. The running quarterback, that is. Cam Newton gets hurt all the time. Lamar was going to get hurt, especially because he has a smaller frame than Cam. It was a little bit more bony, not as muscular, and it might result in injuries faster for him. Next, I got Le'Veon Bell will back up his statement and be the best fantasy football player in the league this year. Went to the Jets, did not necessarily get that raise that he was hoping for, but he still got a pretty nice contract. And, I don't really see Saquon, I don't necessarily believe in, just because he doesn't have anyone blocking for him. The Jets play in an easier division than the Giants do, and Bell is a dual threat that Saquon is not. Saquon is a very good runner, and he's an alright receiver. Bell is elite at both. Despite a year of rust, I think it's stupid for people to underestimate him, and I think he'll get the job done. All right. Daniel Jones will start week 3. I don't think that the Giants are going to stick with Eli Long, despite the fact that the owner wants it. Daniel Jones looked pretty good during the preseason. We'll see what he can do against premier NFL competition, and I think it'll be sooner rather than later. And finally, my 10th hot take. Todd Gurley will have less than 600 yards on the ground this season. Once again, this is probably my most quote-unquote blasphemous one outside of the Patriots finish at a minimum of 15-1. However, I think that Todd Gurley is really due for a regression. I don't know if he's going to be hurt or not. We'll have to see. I just think that it's likely that he will get hurt. He will have that knee was bothering him at the end of last year. And we saw that the Rams offensive line was clearly what made him, because if you could make a bowling ball like C.J. Anderson look like a pro bowler, I mean, you could do that to anyone, let's be honest. All right, after this quick ad read, we are going to move on to the NFL division predictions and award predictions as well. If you guys are looking for NBA, NFL, and MLB content, this is the place to go. FanSource Network is by the people and for the people, giving readers great pieces on a daily basis. Interested in joining? Head on over to fansourcenetwork.com/join to submit your application. All right, now we're going to get into the NFL division winners and wild card representatives. So I'm going to start in the AFC with the obvious no-brainer choice that the Patriots are going to win the AFC East. I got the Jets following, and then the Bills and the Dolphins. I think the Bills and the Jets are both better than people realize. I think Sam Darnold does take a jump, and I have the Jets making a wild card berth, going to be the number 6 seed in the AFC. Next, I have the Steelers, as previously mentioned, winning the AFC North, followed by the Browns, the Ravens, and the Bengals. I have all three of those teams missing the playoffs. Yes, Browns fans, like I said, 8-8 finish, probably, maybe below 500, but you're still not making the playoffs. Sorry. In the AFC South, I have the Jags coming out on top, followed by the Texans, Titans, and Colts. Bill O'Brien is clearly coaching for his job as a result of the last couple of moves that he's made, acquiring both Laremy Tunsil and trading away Jadeveon Clowney. He is the de facto GM for the Texans now, and I think it shows because these trades were pretty lopsided considering that they gave up more for Laremy Tunsil than the Bears did for to get Khalil Mack. And the Jadeveon Clowney deal, they basically sold very, very low. Despite the fact that they had no leverage, I thought they could at least get a moderate pick out of it. They really didn't, and then they went after scrap heaps of players afterwards. I have the Texans, Titans, and Colts missing the playoffs. Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos are my AFC West. The Chiefs and the Chargers both make the playoffs again. I think that the loss of Melvin Gordon won't be that bad for the Chargers, who despite having a pretty good season, will once again finish second to the Chiefs, who will also regress. Derwin James is hurt, which is the reason I have the Chargers coming in second, and I don't think that Mahomes will necessarily duplicate his MVP season. He'll be pretty close. So that's all right. The Chiefs will still win 10-plus games and the division. It just won't be enough to take New England out of Foxborough for the playoffs. Moving on to the NFC. I have the Philadelphia Eagles coming in first in the NFC East, followed by the Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, and following them are the New York Giants, being probably the worst record in football is my guess. No offense, Daniel Jones. You're just not going to be able to get it done. You're a Duke quarterback. However, the Eagles and Cowboys are going to fight down to the last week to see who gets that number one seed. I predict one of them goes 11-5, one of them goes 12-4. Both of them have really stacked rosters. Dak Prescott clearly inferior to Carson Wentz. However, I think the Cowboys seemingly have the Eagles' number for some reason in the last couple of years. Wentz can't seem to beat him, and I don't know why. So I think that might have something to do with it. I think the Eagles have a deeper team, though, and it will eventually show, despite the fact that Ezekiel Elliott is back in the mix. The Eagles are taking the NFC East crown, and I think the number one overall seed in the NFC. Now to the north, I have the Minnesota Vikings taking the division, followed by the Packers, Bears, and Lions. The Lions will be trash, no need to talk about them. The Bears will finish around 500, severe regression, and Trubisky, I have no idea what they're going to do with him. They should probably move on at this point. He's just not that good a quarterback. The Packers will finish in second, but the Vikings, and yes, I do like the Vikings. I'm not a Vikings fan. I'm a Patriots fan. However, the Vikings are my second favorite team. They still have a loaded defense. You can see what they can do with the addition of, I think, Garrett Bradbury in the first round of the last year's draft to bolster that offensive line. Kevin Stefanski, his first full year as the Minnesota offensive coordinator. I think that they can really get Kirk Cousins on the right page with Diggs and Thielen and Rudolph and now Irv Smith Jr., Dalvin Cook coming out of the backfield. This is a loaded Vikings team in a win-now mode, and I think they're actually going to do it this year under a great head coach in Mike Zimmer. Next, to the NFC South, I have the Buccaneers finishing in last place. Don't worry, I went a little bit reverse order just to screw with you. I have the Buccaneers finishing last. They're not that good. Bruce Arians, Jameis Winston can't do it all by themselves. The Saints, however, will finish third. I think that the NFC Championship game will have a severe hangover to them, and I think that they're going to start slow. And Drew Brees may have hit the cliff that Max Kellerman talks about with Tom Brady. He did not look very good down the stretch last season. He might start out well, but he is going to fade. And I think the Saints are due for another 9-7, 8-8, 7-9 season. The Panthers and the Falcons. So the Falcons will win the division. Panthers will come in second, but both will make the playoffs. This is an odd year, which means it's good for Cam Newton. The two previous odd years, 2017, 2015, he made it to the Super Bowl, and then he made it to the playoffs, where he fell to the Saints 2 years ago. Christian McCaffrey will put on an absolute show. I think he's going to be in the running for Offensive Player of the Year. I don't have him winning it, but he is a very talented back, especially for fantasy players. And Matt Ryan has Julio Jones. Keanu Neal's coming back. Deion Jones is coming back, fully healthy. Both of those guys together, especially with the linemen that they drafted, one out of Boston College, and I can't remember where the other one was from in the first round, with those back-to-back picks, I think that Atlanta will really get things going this year and finish atop the division where they were a couple of years ago. Rounding off the NFC, I got the Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks, and Niners. Kyler Murray will actually do pretty well, but it really won't help them. They'll finish in second, a distant second, to the Rams, who loaded up once again and gave Jared Goff a stupid amount of money for the little talent that he is. But that remains to be seen how it'll affect them. For this year, I still have the Rams finishing atop the NFC West. So to recap, in the AFC, I have the Patriots as the 1 seed, the Chiefs as the 2 seed, followed by the Steelers and the Jaguars, Chargers, and then Jets. And in the NFC, I have the Eagles, then the Vikings, then the Rams, and then the Falcons, followed by the Cowboys and the Panthers. Those are my division picks. And for the awards, I have Carson Wentz winning MVP. I think that he is going to have a major bounce back season. And if the Eagles finish first in the conference and Wentz stays healthy, I think voters are going to want to give him the MVP he probably should have won a couple of years ago when Philadelphia won its first Super Bowl in franchise history. Offensive Rookie of the Year, I have Miles Sanders. See the Eagles theme here. And I don't really like the Eagles. I just think that they're a very deep team, especially with these running backs blocking, getting great blocking from guys like Lane Johnson and Brooks. I know they released Wisniewski, but Jason Peters is still there. And Andre Dillard is a very, very good tackle that they drafted in the first round as the Peters heir apparent. I think Sanders is going to have good blocking, and the Penn State running back will shine in the Eagles system. Defensive Rookie of the Year, I have Quinnen Williams, the walking quote himself. The Jets are going to make the playoffs this year, in my estimation, and Quinnen Williams will be a big reason why. He's going to wreak havoc on that against offensive fronts because of the pedigree that he built up while at the University of Alabama. Coach of the Year, I have Mike Tomlin leading the Steelers back to the playoffs. I don't think that he's that good a coach. I think Belichick should win it every year, but he's not going to. It's just like the same argument for Popovich in the NBA. And I think Tomlin takes it. Offensive Player of the Year, they're going to give it to Saquon as much as I don't want them to. Mostly because he's not going to have anyone around him, and they're going to want to give it to him. I don't really have much of a rationale for this. I just don't necessarily like Saquon Barkley. Maybe it's the Patriots bias in me. Maybe it's not. But I don't know. It's just, I think there are better running backs than him. Defensive Player of the Year, I have Luke Kuechly, Huggy Bear from the Carolina Panthers. Boston College product. I've really liked him as part of the Carolina defense for the last number of years. I don't know how long he's been in the league. It's been at least 6 years, though. We'll see how that works out. I think it's a pretty good bet that that Kuechly will win Defensive Player of the Year, unless Aaron Donald has another 20-sack season, which is entirely possible. He is a monster in and of his own right. And finally, the Comeback Player of the Year, I have Landon Collins. He missed last year because of an injury, signed with a division rival Redskins in the offseason, and I think he comes back with a frenzy to bolster what will be, in my estimation, a top-5 defense. So that would be my NFL division predictions and award predictions. After that, after this break, we are going to jump right into the MLB division races as the stretch run heats up. Are you interested in only one sport, for instance, football? Don't be afraid to check out our other fan source websites, NBA Sixth Man, MLB Down the Line, and NFL Fan Blitz, to get all sorts of sports content. All right, I'm going to jump into the MLB races as the division chase heats up, except in a couple divisions where it's basically already cut and dried. Starting off with the AL East, you have the Yankees and the Rays. The Red Sox are out of it, make no mistake about it. Despite being a Red Sox fan, their 6.5% chance to make the playoffs is generous at best. The Yankees will run away with that division. However, they will not be able to advance to the World Series simply for the fact that the Houston Astros are standing in their way. Speaking of the Astros, they are right now leading the Oakland A's by 9 games in the AL West. They're going to wrap up that division rather quickly. I assume they're going to secure the number one seed throughout the playoffs, despite the fact that New York has a better record than them at this point, just because New York still has to face a couple of tough opponents down the stretch, and I don't really know if Houston does. But either way, even if they have to go on the road, I take Houston. You got Verlander, you got Cole, now you got Zach Greinke. Oh, geez, that is a monster trio, and the fact that you have a solid complement of relievers under the tutelage of Brent Strom and AJ Hinch, along with, I don't remember the Houston bullpen coach, but Ryan Pressly, Roberto Osuna. You got a bunch of guys in that bullpen that can actually get it done in high-leverage situations. Something that the Red Sox could actually really take a lesson from. Meanwhile, the Twins and the Indians probably have the closest, not probably, they do have the closest division race in the AL. Indians trailing by 6.5 games, looking less and less likely that they will be able to close the gap despite coming on ridiculously hot in the middle of the season. Twins broke the home run record a couple of days ago with a month to go, so look for them to keep mashing. I do think that their bats are going to get silenced in the playoffs by their first round opponent. It's probably going to be, well, it's going to be neither New York or Houston. I'm going to guess it's going to be New York. Despite the fact that Yankee pitching is just bad, I don't think that these Twins players necessarily have the experience and the temperament to deal with what comes from being in October. Meanwhile, these guys like Gregorius and Judge and Stanton and Sanchez have been in the playoffs before. They really know what they're doing. Actually, no, Stanton's never been in the playoffs, my bad. He was in there last season, but I think New York fans would like to forget it, that terrible performance that he had in the ALDS against the Red Sox. Moving on to the NL, where things get a lot more interesting. You got the Braves, who are probably going to wrap up the division. But behind them, you have the Nationals and the Phillies, both vying for a wild card spot. Philly looking less and less likely by the day. I think the Nats are basically guaranteed to get one of those wild cards. I do like basically their entire team, except for their bullpen, which is absolute garbage outside of Sean Doolittle. But Anthony Rendon, a criminally underrated player, won't get any real MVP consideration just because of Christian Yelich and Cody Bellinger. He probably deserves it. He has a great OPS right now, and I know I'm not necessarily the biggest sabermetric head, but he is having an MVP caliber season, but he's not going to get a lot of recognition for it, which is a real shame. The Nationals better extend him during the offseason. Over in the NL Central, you got the Cardinals atop the division, followed by the Cubs 2.5 games back, and then the Milwaukee Brewers at 7.5 back of them, back of St. Louis, rather. I predicted the Cardinals at the start of the year would win the division, especially with Paul Goldschmidt, and it has worked so far. Jack Flaherty and Mike Mikolas, I think his name is, I don't know how to pronounce that, have really been balling out this entire season. You got the Cubs 2.5 behind, which I've been really sour on the Cubs for like the past couple of years. I thought they were going to finish fourth in the division this year. I actually had the Reds finishing second, mostly because, you know, I have a soft spot for the Reds. Sue me. But yeah, it doesn't really look like it's any of the NL Central team's season, to be honest with you. One of them will make the wild card in all likelihood. However, it just doesn't seem like that strong a division as it has been in past years. Past years, yeah, the Cubs and the Cardinals. Stacked teams. And this year you have one pretty good team, pretty good, but really a class below all the rest of the teams, if we're being honest. 79 wins. The other division leaders have both 87 and 92. It's just a class below the other divisions right now. And finally, the NL West, you have the Dodgers sitting at the top, and they are going to clinch very, very soon the division, not just a playoff spot. It's 18 games ahead of the Diamondbacks, who are second in the division, which is really sad. I really overestimated the Rockies this season. I didn't think they were going to be nearly this bad, but here they are sitting at 59 and 82. Dodgers looking once again primed for a late playoff run. I do not want them to become baseball's version of the Bills. I do like their bullpen, and I love Dave Roberts. Thank you for all he did for Boston. But, like, it's starting to look like that if they can't get it done this October. I think they deserve to be the favorite out of the NL. I think it should be Dodgers-Astros again. And I'd look for the Dodgers to actually win this one, mostly because I can't bring myself to root for Houston if there's a team not named New York opposite them. So that's my quick baseball thought. We're going to finish with the NFL and the Antonio Brown saga. I think that the Raiders should really let him go. I don't think that there's any question that he is an absolute nutbag who deserves to just sit out on the street for a couple of weeks and wait till someone scoops him up, because you know what? Talent does still play in the NFL no matter how screwed up you are in the head in this case, because Antonio Brown, I have no idea what got into him, but ever since the end of last year, he has just been a complete tool bag to his teammates, to anyone around him, really. I don't really know what got into him, like I said, but he may have just cost himself $30 million. Let's put it that way. They have a chance to negate his salary. The Raiders can void it and release him with no dead cap money just because he's been missing practice and stuff because of this helmet grievance. I don't really know why he thinks he has to make this much of a statement, but it looks like he's really trying to just keep one-upping himself. No one's as big a diva as he is, and he just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he wasn't like this at the start of his career. He was a sixth-round pick, for crying out loud. I don't understand why he feels the need to do this. I'm not going to begrudge him. He could do whatever he wants. It just doesn't look very professional. I don't know why. I just don't know why it's necessary, because he ran himself out of Pittsburgh for a reason, and now he's in Oakland. And he got his deal, he got his money, he got what he wanted. And really, the only thing that I can take from this entire Antonio Brown experience is that I have more respect for Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is a bad coach, make no mistake about it. But the fact that Antonio Brown didn't do this while he was coaching him is just something of a wonder, to be honest with you. I don't know how that happened. Good for him. It really shows that, you know what? Tomlin was really dealing with some crap, and yeah, that's partly because of his own doing, but partly just because of the players that were around him. And Big Ben's not necessarily the best leader, but then you add it with Bell and Brown, whew, that trio really did underachieve. They definitely did, but there's no denying that Tomlin both contributed and suffered as a result of the open locker room that he liked to run. That'll do it for us. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter at FansourceHQ, at NFL Fan Blitz, at NBA 6th Man, that's NBA 6th Man, and at MLB Down the Line. And head on over to Facebook to like our page and follow us on Instagram at FansourceHQ. I'm the one who runs the Instagram. I got about 200 pictures. Took me about 5 days to make them all, just with all the graphics for all the final scores for the NFL this season. Definitely go check it out. Hit it up with a follow. With all my plugging done, my name is Jeremy. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.